College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. It's 106.7 The Fan. I was listening to the Junks driving in. B, I believe, is on the last day of his 2025 golf journey at this point. I think he's played both west and east coasts of the United States at this point. I believe he's in Charleston, South Carolina today. So I know we got listeners down there. If you see B, shout him out. But just beware, if the sun reflects off his head, it might blind you. Excellent weekend if you like sports. Nats are red hot. Orioles just completely in the tank. What a mess. What has happened up there? But good for the Nats. Good for Dylan Cruz. Landfill, how you feeling about Dylan Cruz, baby? As the number one Dylan Cruz hater.
I mean, he's been awful. So
had a bomb.
Hitting like 183.
I heard my guy, Earl Forsey, just played the highlight.
That doesn't, you know, blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
I bet he's over 183, dude.
Okay, he might be like 191.
I just pulled it up. Hang on. Currently batting 191.
Okay. his career average is under 200 at this point. I refuse to concede that this guy, maybe he'll be good one day, hasn't been good yet.
Career average 203. What is the Mendoza line? 200? 206?
Something like that. I feel like, you know,
it's too early on a beautiful Monday morning for you to be hating on Dylan Cruz.
Here's the thing. This is what AAA is for.
No.
Sit him down for a couple, you know, weeks. He's hitting 191.
He just hit a bomb in Baltimore. I'm good with Dylan Cruz. There was so much going on this weekend beyond the Nats who got hot. Played a bad team. Got hot. That's what you're supposed to do. Obviously, I guess, you know, we're all kind of, it's time to get used to where we are in the calendar, folks, because the Caps, unfortunately, are over. We had rookie mini camp, but last week was all schedule driven. I do want to circle back on the schedule and have a discussion about the best road trip. But we've reached the time of the year where, at least locally, it's baseball and nothing else. That's the only thing you get to watch every night. So hope for all the Nats fans, it's your time to talk a little Nats. Mark Zuckerman from Massive Sports is going to join us at noon. We are going to have Fred Smoot on at 10:30. I can't wait to ask Smoot what he thinks the best road trip is. I want Smoot in Spain. I think the world needs that for, you know, global relations. I don't know the tariff situation right now, but I'm not sure what the United States relationship is with Spain right now, but I know that Fred Smoot can only help it. We're also going to check in on the Giants. Who the hell is the starting quarterback? Paul Schwartz going to join us from the New York Post. And then there is a big golf tournament going on at Congressional this weekend, or this week. Over the weekend was the men's PGA Championship down in Charlotte at Quail Hollow. This weekend is the senior PGA Championship at Congressional in Bethesda, and should be really cool at 1:30. My guy Jason Epstein, who is the head of golf out of Congressional, is going to join us, kind of tell us what to expect from the seniors this weekend. Landfill, do you know who the defending champ of the senior PGA Championship is?
Is it John Daly?
No. He might. I believe he's in the field, though.
That's all I got. If Beamich was a PGA member, he'd be playing because he's a senior.
He definitely is old enough. These dudes are really good, though. I think B would quickly distance himself from being able to play at this level. I'm not doing a bit here.
Is it Vijay Singh?
No.
That's all I got.
Jeff, do you know who the defending senior PGA champion is?
Brian Mitchell.
No.
It's like, nah, I don't know, man.
What if I told you that the defending senior PGA championship champion is named Dick Bland? no bits. Richard Bland. They call him Dickie. So, shout out to Dick Bland. Maybe we'll get him on the program this week. He'll be defending his title. I think he's a live guy. Dude, I feel like we're oddly surrounded by live supporters. Like, I know, like, Valdez is all in. Jeff's always wearing his, like, range goat hat or whatever. I also think Jeff, if you just give him free gear, will just wear. He's a supporter of whoever's giving him the gear. But no,
I actually bought that.
No chance.
I actually bought that hat.
There is no chance.
I bought the hat.
You paid American dollars for that.
And then, look, I was mad because I didn't check the
little. No, they brought a bunch of stuff in here, and you got junkie producer leftovers on that hat. That's my take.
Jeff Walker.
No, I bought that hat. I literally walked in the store. I said, oh, I like the hat. I bought it, and then I was mad after I bought it because then my boy JP gave me, like, some live money that I could have used to get it. So I got the shirt because I like their logo. It's tight. I'm the goat. I'm a Capricorn. I like it.
Cosmetology.
Jeff Walker is a fan of whoever gives him free tickets.
Correct.
And Liv holds an event in the D.C. area, and they typically give Jeff free tickets.
Yo, if you give me free tickets, I'm going to spend my money. I'm going to do something to support back.
Liv had a tough weekend. The bottom half of Liv is not high-level golf, but the top is where they compete, right? And it's Bryson and it's John Rahm. And Bryson was good, and then he kind of fell apart. He started blaming his golf ball. Like, I can't figure Bryson out. He's obviously a great golfer, undeniably. He's a lot of things. But John Rahm, for a stretch, was the best player in the world. Has won a Masters, has won a U.S. Open. But since he's gone to Live, his game has kind of fallen apart. And Rahm got hot Saturday, competed with Scotty Sunday, and then kind of fell apart after. He ended up falling down a tie for eighth. But I think the worst part of this, all the Liv dudes have, Bryson especially, pretends like he loves it on that tour, but Rahm has been particularly critical of it and just said, he's like, dude, I took the money. I can't wait to get out of here. And Rahm's comments this week, I just thought were really telling. He just talked about how much it's the most fun he's had playing golf, how different it all feels. And it just, like, it's got to be tough for the other league that knows they've just paid so much money and they just can't get any substance. Now, I am excited. I want to go to the Live Tournament. When is the Live Tournament here? Because I know that dude was at the 106.7 The Fan live night that said we got to ride in the golf carts. Shout out to my guy.
I think it's the 6th through the 9th, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. I hope I get to go to that. I'm playing in the Woodmont member guest that weekend, so we'll see. But, dude, Scottie Scheffler is just unbelievable. The way he closed on Saturday, if anybody watched that, was just unbelievable. I think he went birdie, birdie, par, birdie, birdie coming in. And, I mean, just distanced his lead to something that was incredible. I think it's really, really stupid if I think it's like the yelling shows that have popularized this to such a degree where, like, anything that happens immediately has to be compared to something else, and anything that happens has to be described with some great historic context. Nobody is Tiger. Like, stop with the Tiger comparisons. And, yes, Jeff?
Oh, no. I was raising my hand.
Right. Usually you do that when you demonstrate you have something to say. That's when
I was raising my hand because I identify as Tiger.
Jeez. Jeff's mic's cut for the rest of the segment. Like, we've got to stop with the need to compare Rory, Scotty, any of these dudes to Tiger. Because Tiger was incredible at a different level. And I think there's probably a lot of folks that felt that way with Tiger that watched Nicklaus play. I never watched Nicklaus play, so I don't know what to say about that. I think Scotty, though, this stretch of golf we're in where, unfortunately, you've got these bifurcated tours where half these dudes are playing in front of tens of people in, like, Korea and Argentina or whatever. And it's just been and I'm not, like, pearl-clutching on behalf of the PGA Tour. They try to make a deal with the Saudis, too. Like, money is changing professional golf, and that's fine. Go get paid. It just sucks as a viewer of golf that week after week after week, we don't get to see the best players on the same courses. But that's why the majors have become so important now, and it's why this is such an awesome time period for major championship golf. I mean, Rory gets the Grand Slam. Scotty wins the next one, which takes him a step closer to a Grand Slam. Scotty feels like a Grand Slam capable player. I would say, I mean, Rahm's already halfway home on it, right? Like, he's got a Masters and U.S. Open. I believe Xander has a PGA and a British. Spieth has everything but a PGA, but Spieth's game is far from what it once was. But, like, there's just so many excellent players that going into next month in the U.S. Open, you feel like any of them could win. And it's just, it's an awesome period of time if you are into golf. And I do think, unfortunately, the PGA is, like, the least, I think it drives people to their televisions the least of any major. And there was a lot of beef with, this course, which I think, like, and I am a consumer of the golf podcast complex, but I think, like, and maybe I end up like this, whoa, 10 day in the building. Maybe I end up like this in football. I hope not. But, like, I think people in, when you're really in the weeds on a certain sport, you tend to just overly complain. Like, I don't think viewers were upset with Quail Hollow this weekend. I think it looked like a pretty dope golf course. We're going to talk more with Barry Svrluga at 11. I want to go around kind of a lot of things with Barry. I want to talk some football. I want to talk some baseball, the puck. Ovechkin came out and said he's coming back. I think that was always the expectation. But, dude, for the Caps, Carolina's in their division. The way the NHL playoffs are set up, you always play a division opponent in the second round. As currently constituted, there was nothing fluky about that playoff series loss to the Canes. So I almost wonder, like, I think there's a number of reasons why the Commanders beefed up their offensive line so significantly. You want to take care of Jaden. He's your best asset. I mean, every offense is better with a better offensive line. Like, it's not rocket science to always want to beef up your offensive line, but a lot of it was probably predicated by the Eagles' defensive line being so damn good. And I just wonder if the Caps have to try to figure out a way to get past the Canes, because the Canes seem like a problem. In hoops, I was kind of fired up to watch a little Game 7. Now, my day yesterday got completely taken over by 9-year-old lacrosse, but I was excited to watch a hoops. I don't know why that was a 3:30 game, but I'm not the schedule maker. But it also didn't matter because the Thunder just kicked the tar out of the Denver Nuggets. So we now have conference finals set, Thunder, T-Wolves, Pacers, Knicks. The games don't start until tomorrow. You've got Thunder, T-Wolves first, and then Pacers, Knicks starts Wednesday. It's a lot of rest for the Pacers. Down go the Celtics. Jason Tatum's out for a long time. I mean, sports is unpredictable, man. In the puck, you've got Stars, Oilers, which is a serious series, and then Panthers, Canes. I said before that I thought whoever won Caps Canes was getting to the Stanley Cup. I still think so. I think the Panthers have to be gassed, but they certainly have, you know, the heart of a champion, defending champ. I'm rooting for the Oilers. I'm all in on the Oilers. I might order Oilers swag. Would that be a step too far, Landfill? If I come in here with an Edmonton hat? I don't know that I will actually do that. Like Jeff, you know, I'm waiting for somebody to send me free stuff. The biggest development of the weekend for me, though, was on the personal side. It was my daughter, my 9-year-old daughter, her team in lacrosse. They were the 4 seed going into the playoffs. And this is the very beginning of legitimate lacrosse. Like, they're playing on a full field. You got little 9-year-old girls that weigh 60 pounds having to run. And it's, dude, it's bigger than a football field because there's no, like, end zones. Like, you can run behind the goal and everything. So they were the 4 seed. The seeding in this tournament was kind of funky. I don't really understand it. But their first game was at noon. So we got to the lacrosse field at 11:30, Landfill. 11:30 for warm-ups. Shout out to the Voggies, the coaches. They did a hell of a job all season. So we get there at 11:30, and I'm sitting with my boy Kelly, and he's like, dude, I think they're going to win this one. And at that point, we're like, that's cool. Happy to get them to win one. But it also meant, so the game was at noon. The games go roughly an hour. Then we got to wait an hour for the next game. And the next game, Landfill, was the 1 seed, the orange team. I don't know what their names are. They were good. And our girls played them the first game of the year and got smoked. So our girls play the first game. They win. It was cool. It was good. You know, it was nothing too crazy. Our girls were better. So they won the first game. Then we got to chill, and we're watching, and the orange team wins. And my boy Kelly, who called the first game, is like, I don't know about this one. And we all were unsure. This is the number one team in the tournament, undefeated on the year. I mean, they really had some talent on their team. And I don't know the hows or whys, but we had to make a goalie substitution. The goalie from the first game was not the goalie in the second game. And beyond that, the goalie in the second game hadn't played goalie for us all year. Had not played goalie all year. And this is now the semifinals of the tournament. She was an absolute brick wall. She was awesome. Shout out to Adaya. She was fantastic. I think she plays goalie in other sports, but had never done it in lacrosse. Taking out the 1 seed, so we got our girls got a lead on them. And it was, I believe it was 5-4 with a minute left. They called a timeout. I didn't know there were timeouts. I've learned an incredible amount of girls lacrosse over the last couple months, but really yesterday. I still have no idea why the penalties get called so often, but whatever, here we are. Up one, they have a rush with like 30 seconds. This young woman, Adaya, must have made, I mean, legitimately 5 incredible saves in the second half, including 2 with 10 seconds left. She was fantastic. All the girls were great. They all just played their hearts out. It got a little chippy with the 1 seed parents when the 4 seed took them down. Now, some of it was, there may have been some discussion that was not meant to be derogatory towards someone, that was taken in a derogatory way, but it got a little chippy, Landfill. It was interesting. It was a very interesting afternoon, but, you know, much like when Wisconsin beat Kentucky, when Kamenetsky beat that undefeated Kentucky team in the Final Four, and then they lost to Duke. You know what I mean? Like, you got to see it to the finish line. You beat the 1 seed, you got to get all the way home. So another hour break on a lacrosse field. And then they played the last game. Say it was 3 o'clock. So, I mean, my day has completely been blown up. No, it's closer to 4 by this lacrosse tournament, but it was awesome. They win the tournament. My daughter played well. She improved so much over the year. All these girls played really, really well. I got to throw my hat because I think Lila and Bryn had hat tricks, and they won the title. It was remarkable. I never had a feeling of watching my daughter and her friends that I've known since they were all in kindergarten or pre-K or whatever, to watch your kid win a championship. And this is 9-year-old lacrosse. I'm not trying to overstate the value or importance of any of this. But to watch, and my kindergartner had just won one, but it was very different. Those weren't real games. This is the real deal. It's a special feeling, man. It's really, really cool. And I was talking to Bickle about it. It makes you realize, like, how some of these parents get so crazy at chasing kids' sports. And, like, it was exhilarating. It was awesome to watch. And you just have a sense of pride that is hard to describe. You know what else is hard to describe, Landfill? The value of going with John Leahy if you're looking to buy or sell a home. John Leahy and the Fine Living Group are the people to call, just like my friend Marilyn did. She had a Greenbelt condo, but she had to move. But her condo didn't qualify for FHA, so it made her buyers list a little funky. A bunch of these buyers loved her condo, but they weren't able to get it. So you know what Leahy and the Fine Living Group did? They found a previous client that was looking for an investment property, and bang, the buyer paid cash, $2,000 over asking, and John Leahy was able to get it done inside of a week. That's the kind of difference he can make. And if you want to know just how much money your house is worth, check out johnsellsdmv.com and you can use that equity tool to get a better idea. Hey, maybe I should be selling too. Call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
106.7 The Fan. I got to get something sent over to my man Landini. Frankie Louvu was on Good Morning Football this morning and just had a really cool discussion about his upbringing. And you know, it's funny because I think on the East Coast, we're not as, because, you know, it's the Pacific Ocean, and I think a lot more folks of Polynesian descent are on the West Coast. But it's really fascinating to watch and learn and kind of read about stuff. And with Frankie and Mariota, like, it's a cool little component of what Washington is building. And I think it's a big factor in kind of what has allowed them to, you know, build the camaraderie and the brotherhood and whatever you want to call it. And I get people, it's just funny because I think, as long as they're winning, people are into it. And this fall is going to be a hell of a opportunity for them to try to win. I think I want to talk a bit about the hoops, because I my guess is we're just going to get so locked up in the rest of the program. How are we feeling about these series? Does anybody – I think Thunder – Thunder T-Wolves seems pretty wide open. I don't know what the regular season was there, and the Thunder are obviously really good. I think for them to get past Denver in that manner where they just kicked their ass, and I know who was hurt. Gordon was hurt, right? The odds makers will tell you the Pacers are slight underdogs. I see it as Knicks minus 155, Pacers plus 135, and it opened – I think that got bet up on the Knicks side. I think you're actually getting, I don't know if they'll win it, but I think you're getting really good value on the Pacers on the plus number. White Brian, tell me what the Pacers and Knicks regular season series was, because they probably played 4 or 6 games. My man White Brian's dead asleep. Check it out. I think I woke him up. I mean, if this ain't Monday in May talking, I don't know what to tell you. But just for that alone, I think you guys should all have to be on the stream too, because I got to keep talking, but if you guys were at least on the stream, you'd all have to stay awake. That's what I'm saying. Landfill. White Brian never speaks, always looks hungover. Does he have a drug problem? I don't know. What do you think's going on here? What'd you get into last night, White Brian? Maybe that's why they call him White Brian. Know what I'm saying, Landy?
I fell asleep at like midnight. Tired. I'm not a morning person.
I mean, 10:30, not really the morning anymore. Like, you could go with, like, I'm not a morning person at 7 a.m. I think not a morning person expires by 9 a.m., dog. Anything after 9 a.m. is just kind of the day. I can tell you don't have children, because children are morning people. Give me Pacers Knicks line, please. Tell me what they did in the regular series, in the regular season. Please try to stay awake. This is crazy to me. The T-Wolves are plus 285 in that series. The Thunder are that big of favorites. I'm a guy that usually takes underdogs anyway, but man, that's the Thunder were great all year, but they got pushed to the brink. Maybe it's because the Timberwolves got past the hurt of Steph-less Warriors team. What do you got for me?
The Knicks won 2 out of 3 in the regular season.
All right, give me T-Wolves Thunder too, please. So Knicks took 2 out of 3.
Pacers winning that series, though.
Dude, I kind of think so too.
Hella buckets.
I think Carlisle's a really good coach too. I don't know, Jeff, if we should actually do this. The Thunder are favorites to win the title, minus 175. Then the T-Wolves at plus 475. Then the Knicks at plus 550. Then the Pacers at 7-1, so plus 700. I kind of like that. I also think it's ridiculous. Are the T-Wolves that much better than the Knicks or the Pacers? I understand why the Thunder are massive favorites here. They are loaded, and they had the MVP playing at an incredible high level. I don't know, man. Teams have never won a title. The Thunder, I guess Seattle won a title, like back when the Bullets won a title. Are we counting a Seattle title from the 70s for the Thunder? I left hand up, I'm not going to. So, eat it, Thunder. The Pacers definitely haven't.
Did you notice how ridiculous the starting dates for these series are, the conference finals?
They don't start till Wednesday, right?
Right, but like the time off that the Pacers and the Knicks have had is just massively longer than the time off that the Thunder have had.
Dude, the Thunder's the only, I mean, everybody else was done in 5 or 6 games. The Thunder went a full 7.
They should have at least started the Eastern Conference Finals before the Western Conference Finals.
Right, because the Thunder then have to play tomorrow night.
Right. The Pacers get 8 days off. The Knicks get 5. The Thunder get 1.
That's crazy. I don't really understand why they do this. Dude, if you look now at the NBA Finals are already scheduled, and the Stanley Cup, like both of them are scheduled. So these games are going to start May 20th and 21st. I think the NBA Finals don't start until like June 5th or something. So if any of these games go five, like if these series, the first game is June 5th. So if these conference finals only go like 5 or 6 games, there's going to be a week easy until the finals come on. And I don't understand that. Like, I'm not going to pretend at all to work at the network level of programming, but I understand television programming on some level. The networks would make time for these. There's nothing on. White Brian's falling asleep, for God's sakes. There's nothing on. They can, you know what I mean? Like, we can watch, the baseball can get moved. There's nothing else going on. I don't understand the need to lock those dates and times in. Like, it'd be one thing if it was like an Olympic summer or an election year and maybe you're worried about, debates drawing large audiences. But why do they have to lock this stuff up so far out? And do we really have to live in a world tonight where there's no puck or hoops? Who the hell did that? What am I supposed to do? I spent all weekend with my family.
Hey, on.
Is it the Sticks?
Not sure.
Find out if the Sticks are playing. Or I think the Nats even have a day off, right? You telling me there's no puck, no hoops, not even baseball? What the hell are people supposed to do? What does a red-blooded American male do tonight?
Yeah, the Nats are off today, and the Mystics don't play till Wednesday.
No wonder B-Mitch is off. There's nothing going on. Good God. I got to start consulting a calendar more often. What does this dude want on line one, Jeff? Should I take it? All right. My guy Chris is in Culpeper. Chris, what the hell am I supposed to do tonight? There's zero sports on.
I have no idea. Just sit there and stare at the TV and just spin around in a circle, I guess. You were talking about the time off between the basketball teams and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's so
well,
dumb.
The Nuggets, yeah, the Nuggets and Thunder just had 3 days off. I think they played Thursday, so they had a massive time off. I know they played yesterday, but I just kind of feel like it's going to even out the way it is. They're athletics. I'm sure they can figure it out. Who do you want to win out of these four teams? Like, we don't really see these four teams. Like, this is totally different in the NBA.
Yeah.
I'm an East Coast guy. I always root for the East Coast teams. Wizards, of course, but we never do anything. So,
yeah.
I'm leaning towards the Knicks. I don't know why. I'd love to see the Pacers do it as well. I just think it's kind of a little wild. You don't see those two teams in. And thank you for letting me make a comment. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. It's a good question. Who are we rooting for?
Tyrese Halliburton.
All right, Jeff's on the Pacers. I got to think about this one. You know what I don't have to think about? My new garage door. It's the best. The folks from Door Pro America came to the house, showed me a ton of different options, got rid of my old, clunky, loud garage door, gave me this new, sleek, black one that makes our house look better. Honestly, it probably drove the value of my house up, getting a new garage door. And it's silent. I can open and close it on the app. The MyQ app is dope. I have a camera in there. If anybody's trying to break into my garage refrigerator, steal my surf sides, I'm on you. Don't be trying to steal my surf sides because I got a camera in my garage door. Bang! Call Door Pro America today. If you call, you can save $60 on a repair. That's the other thing. You don't have to just get a new garage door. These dudes are experts. They can come out and just fix your existing one. Maybe you don't have to get a new one. But if you call today, you can save $60 on a repair or $150 on a new garage door. 877-DOOR-PRO. That's 877-DOOR-PRO. Tell them J.P. Finley sent you. Or check them out now at Door Pro America.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But it looks like Sean Merriman lights out. Let's reach out to his PR guy. He's always so good to us. Looks like his son committed to the University of Maryland. Shout out to Coach Loxley. Lights out. What do you call Sean? Let's learn some stuff before I make more comments on that. Here's what we did learn. Monday, May 19th, a day that will live in infamy. There's no NHL playoffs. There's no NBA playoffs. Coming off a weekend where there's crazy golf on all the time. There's no golf on. There's obviously no football. The Nats don't play. I assume the Orioles don't play either. Somebody let me know if the O's are playing. So I naturally, you know, went to social media. I said, what the hell am I supposed to do tonight? And I've gotten some comments. Gotten a lot of comments, as tends to happen. On Twitter, I've gotten some recommendations. Landfill, this is a very oddly specific one from Daniel's Believer. He says, order spaghetti and cry. Seems kind of intense. My man Gonzo says I should plan the Madrid trip. A lot of people say just watch Jaden Daniels highlights. It might not be the worst way to go. I'll tell you what I definitely won't do. Bud Johnson says, rewatch the Subway Series highlights from last night. Oh, I mean, he's talking Yankees Mets, right? I won't spend a second of my life doing that. Somebody told me to go fishing. A lot of people are telling me to watch wrestling. Is Monday Night Raw still the thing? What out? Is that still on USA? Does USA still exist?
I think it's on TNT.
I think TNT has Shad Khan's wrestling league. Where's Rooster when you need him? He'd be all over this. My guy, Hamid Safardi, says, cuddle with your wife. Well, Hamid, that requires both of us being into that idea. And I got a feeling that won't be the case. Jamarcus, I cannot read what you said, but that was funny.
Monday Night Raw's on Netflix.
Really?
Apparently.
Who knew? I got some comments on my Facebook page. Charles Newsom said, make the wife think you carved out the day for her and the girls. I've been nothing but Family Guy since Friday. We went to the beach. We had a blast. I dug a hole. I hung some lights. I spent all day yesterday playing lacrosse. I got my six-year-old to sleep last night. I may have fallen asleep in the process, but whatever. We all fell asleep. So I've been on family mode. Jeff, what do you think about this? Tim Sluss says I should play you in Madden tonight.
You would probably cry.
I wouldn't cry because, much like the dude that sent in this pamphlet about changing one cartoon to another, I would not invest that type of emotional time into caring. I would play you in Madden. I don't have a device to play Madden. My daughters have a Nintendo Switch. Can I play Madden on that?
I don't know. I never played Madden on a Nintendo product.
Well, I would play you in Madden, and you could throttle me. I think I would get...
Stop.
Me versus Jeff in Madden, the line would be Jeff minus 40, I think. I video games have passed me by. I wouldn't be upset to lose to you. I think it'd be fun. All right, let's take... Before we get Sverluga on the phone, Jeff's rooting for the Pacers. He's made that clear. I know who I'm rooting for in the puck. I'm rooting for the Oilers all the way. In basketball, I'm torn. I like Anthony Edwards a lot. If he's going to become the real face of the NBA, I think he's got to stop suggesting that people perform like sexual acts on him to random fans in the crowd. Like, he's pretty aggressive with what he yells to fans in the crowd. I think I'm rooting for the Pacers with Jeff. Of all the New York teams, the Knicks are the one I dislike the least. Like, Giants, Yankees, Mets, like all that, the Rangers, like, get out of my face. The Knicks, I oddly kind of have liked over time. But I have a tremendous fear that if the Knicks were to win a title, that the wild amount of bandwagon New York Knicks fans that would emerge from the crevices of nowhere would be so annoying. I don't think I want the Knicks to win a title. I'm not rooting against them, but I don't want that to happen. So I think I'm rooting for the Pacers. Indy's a nice city. Tim Meek lives there. I don't have a lot to say. Terry McLaurin's from there. Who are you rooting for, Lanfield? You got four NBA teams.
Timberwolves.
Why?
Kevin Garnett used to play there.
It's as good a reason as any. We got a Prince poster in here. Why, Brian, do you like the Knicks, Brian?
I don't hate them, but I don't like them. I can't really claim fandom.
Who's your NBA team?
I don't have one. Welcome, I guess the Wizards.
Welcome to the Wizards bandwagon. There is plenty of room. Plenty of room. I've been rooting for the Wizards / Bullets my entire life, and I got to tell you, not a lot of highlights on that. The Gilbert years were the best. My favorite teams were Rod Strickland, Weber, all that before they broke everything up. Do you remember, I think it was 1999, when MJ and the Bulls swept the Bullets in the first round, and MJ said they were the team of the future? That didn't last. Here's what we're going to do. Barry Sverluga, Washington Post, joins us next.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.